my message today is clearing up misconceptions. Clearing up misconceptions. We live in a world that is full of misconceptions. We're now living decades into the information age. And yet the fact remains that misinformation and misconceptions are still all around us. And if you've been paying attention to world news this week, there was a huge misconception that caused a lot of anger all over the world. This one has to do with the continuing Israel and Hamas war that's now 2 weeks in progress. Several news outlets, including many sources in the American press, reported this past week that an Israeli missile struck a Baptist hospital in Gaza City, causing an explosion that killed several hundred people. But it took a full day for the truth to come out. The missile was not launched by the Israelis, but rather it was a failed missile launched by the terrorist organization, Hamas. This truth was confirmed by both American intelligence and Jewish intelligence, as well as other sources. When these media companies sheepishly investigated where their misinformation came from, they had to admit this false story came from Palestinian sources, where Hamas resides. So think about that. The same terrorists who butchered families 2 weeks ago, who committed unspeakable atrocities, who kidnapped hundreds of people, these people were somehow deemed trustworthy enough to get a big story like this correct. Well, the truth is, Hamas lied, again, to no one's surprise. And very quickly, these news organizations all over the world, they rushed to change their headlines on their websites, and they changed their stories on their social media. What a huge mistake they made. And the American media has taken a lot of criticism over this incident. And even though a correction was eventually made, the damage was already done. Riots had already spread all over the world, particularly by Muslim groups who surrounded United States and even British embassies in various countries. And lots of Israel-hating Americans had gathered in force to show their support for Palestine and the Hamas terrorists. You know, sometimes we learn that a misunderstanding about a particular event was caused in part by a misperception of what really happened. But sometimes we learn that misconceptions are caused by prejudices that are already present within the minds of people against certain races and against certain ethnicities. And for this particular story about the hospital, a lot of people who have anti-Semitic biases, including a whole host of Americans, these people had their own racist dispositions exposed to the world this week. And today we're going to learn about some misconceptions that the Jewish people had stuck in their minds during the days that Christ was walking the earth. And as usual, our Lord and Savior Jesus was always careful to set the record straight. Jesus was never afraid to speak truth in a hostile environment. Today we're going to read the story of a miracle that Jesus performed to heal a blind man. If you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 9. Book of John chapter 9, I'll be reading from the New International Version. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Verse 3. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your truth, Father, your word that teaches us, Father, so many things. Father, we are in awe of you, God. We are so thankful you have given us a Bible in our own language that we could read and understand. We can read the words of Jesus. And God, we just pray that you open our hearts and teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So did you hear this misconception that all the disciples had about this blind man? They assumed that the man was born blind because of some sin that either he or his parents had committed. Now that kind of thinking might sound really odd to us today, but back in those days, it was assumed that your lot in life was a direct result of either your sinfulness or your righteousness. In other words, the disciples concluded that if you're poor, or if you're blind, or if you're diseased, that it must be your fault. Or maybe that's the fault of a family member or somebody around you. On the other hand, if you're a rich man, well, that must mean that you're doing all the right things. And it must mean that you have the blessing of God on your life. And by the way, Jesus corrected both of those misconceptions. Remember what he said about the blind man? About the rich man? He said, it's easier for a camel to pass through what? The eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. That's Matthew 19:24. Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. What is he talking about? The disciples were completely blown away by this teaching. They had the wrong misconception. And they were not the only ones. And as we continue the story, we'll see that same misconception pop up again. The disciples asked Jesus, where did this guy go wrong? Jesus told them, this man is not blind because of something he did. It's not because of something his parents did, but because God had a purpose in it. I want you to hold that thought. God has a purpose. Sometimes we struggle in life. We go through trials. We go through frustrations. We feel like God's not listening to us. I'm telling you right now, God has a purpose. Please trust Him. When you can't hear His voice, trust His heart. All right? Let's continue the story in verse 6. Jesus continues, John chapter 9, verse 6. After saying this, He spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, He told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Verse 8. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. Verse 10, how then were your eyes opened? They asked. He replied, the man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Verse 12, where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. And you might have noticed even in this story, some folks won't believe the truth even when it's right in front of them. They've seen this blind beggar many times, and now they see him, and he's no longer blind. And the beggar himself testifies, yes, it's me, I'm the same guy. And some people still won't believe it. But wait till this blind man makes it to the Pharisees, the chief, the high priest, the teachers of the law. All gets better. Let's continue in verse 13. John 9, verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Here's misconception number two. Jesus didn't hold fast to the Sabbath tradition, so therefore he cannot be from God. It's another misconception. Notice that they conveniently ignored the fact that Jesus had just performed a supernatural act. A supernatural miracle. But it wasn't exactly true. It wasn't that Jesus was breaking the Sabbath as defined by God, but rather he was ignoring the traditions of men. You know, in other places in Scripture, Jesus heals on the Sabbath, and he defends doing it. He says it's a good thing. He says if an animal falls down into a pit on the Sabbath, aren't you going to bring the animal out? Of course you will. It's always good to do good on the Sabbath. Amen. Let's continue reading verse 17. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. Verse 18. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see? Did you notice it? That it was not enough to take the man's word at face value? They had to go find his parents. They had to go find the man's parents to see if they would corroborate this crazy story. Let's hear the parents' response in verse 20. John 9, verse 20. We know he is our son, the parents answered. And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. Here's misconception number three. Jewish leaders had already decided in their minds that there's no way they're going to accept Jesus as the Messiah. This is the Holy One, God's anointed one, the Messiah who was prophesied by Holy Scripture. No way is Jesus the Messiah. It didn't matter what he did. It didn't matter what he said. They've already made a commitment. I want you to hear me today. We see this today. Atheists living today in the 21st century are just like the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day. Most atheists that I come across are not looking for truth. They're not looking for truth. You won't see atheists poring over the facts about Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. You won't see atheists pondering, how is it possible that all the disciples except one willingly went to brutal deaths defending the truth about Jesus Christ? They willingly died for what they knew was true. It's hard evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's hard evidence. No, atheists are not looking for information so that they can arrive at a logical conclusion about Jesus. No, they've already decided they don't want to follow Jesus. You see, choosing to deny Jesus is not a conclusion where atheists have carefully weighed all the facts and made a logical, rational decision. No, it's not a conclusion. It's a commitment. It's not a conclusion based on facts. It's a commitment to do something different than what they've already decided to do. Think about that. All right, let's continue. Let's wrap up this story in verse 24. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. Before I finish here, here's misconception number four. They believed Jesus was just a human and just a sinner, just like the rest of us. Again, it's not based on fact, it's a misconception. The Pharisees had no basis of any kind to make a statement like that. There was no proof, no evidence anywhere that would suggest that Jesus was a sinner. And yet they believed it anyway. There's another misconception. All right, let's keep going in verse 25. I love the response that the beggar gives the Pharisees. Verse 25. This is the beggar speaking. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Verse 26. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Verse 27. He answered, I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Oh. Verse 28. Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." Verse 30, the man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody's ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Amen. I gotta say, for a beggar who was born blind and all of his life he was completely blind until just 5 minutes ago, he could see very clearly. He could see the truth. The beggar's logic was spot on. He's exactly right. The proof that Jesus is sent by God the Father is evidence of all the miracles that he's performing. What's happening here? Why do we see miracles? God the Father is validating. Hear me out. Through the miracles, God is validating the person and the message of Jesus Christ through supernatural miracles that no one can deny. You know, later we see the same dynamic when Jesus enables the disciples. Remember these phrases? They're very popular in charismatic churches. Jesus gave the disciples this. He says, Matthew 10:8, he says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils." The proof that God was with the disciples was the evidence of the supernatural. The evidence of the supernatural. God's validating the message of the disciples by enabling them to perform supernatural miracles. And yet many chose not to believe. They chose not to believe their own eyes. They chose not to believe the miracles. They had already made a commitment. And sadly, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they refused to accept the truth that was right in front of them. This beggar was born physically blind, but these Pharisees were spiritually blind. Unfortunately, the man who was born physically blind was not blind by choice, but the Pharisees were spiritually blind by their choice. All right, the last verse in this passage is verse 34. I want you to listen to a couple more misconceptions that they promote in verse 34. "To this they replied, 'You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?' And they threw him out." There's that misconception again. You were steeped in sin at birth? These religious leaders just assumed that if you were blind from birth, then you were receiving from God the justice that you deserved. There was no other explanation possible. And notice they didn't answer the beggar's question. They didn't follow his logic to the right conclusion. No, they chose instead to attack the person making the argument. This is a fallacious argument known as an ad hominem argument. Ad hominem is a way of, instead of discussing the facts and following them to a logical conclusion, you attack the person making the argument. Ad hominem. And this type of false argument is still very popular today. We see it all over the place. If someone on the internet disagrees with your social media post, often the first thing they do is attack you personally. They don't say anything about what you wrote, about the validity of what you wrote. They attack you personally because they don't like your opinion. They don't like what you have to say, so they resort to personal attacks. Very popular today. And then finally, the last misconception from this passage is that the Jewish leaders and Pharisees always assumed that they were right. It was in their nature to promote themselves as having the high moral ground, as evidenced by their positions as priests and teachers of the law. They were right. No one could stand against them. Anyone who disagreed with them was simply kicked out, no matter how logical their arguments were, no matter how factual the evidence is. If you disagreed with the priests and the Pharisees, you got booted out. You know, our good friend Kenny Howard, many of you know Kenny. Our good friend Kenny talked to me years ago about misconceptions that the general public has with the Church of Jesus Christ today. Kenny said, that he chooses not to associate himself with any particular denomination. Because in his experience, as soon as you mention the names Wesleyan, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopal, whatever, as soon as you mention one of those names, as soon as somebody hears one of those denominational names, boom, they're triggered. Sometimes the defensive walls come up, right? They already think of misconceptions about those denominations, about those groups. Maybe the misconception is based on a church that they once knew years ago, or maybe it's based on anecdotal information from a friend or a family member, or maybe it's based on something they read on the internet. You know, Kenny told me that he does not want the gospel of Jesus Christ to be hindered by any type of misconception. So he hands out business cards that say, "Jesus loves you." I've got several of them right here in my tote bag. Kenny doesn't want to spend time, or waste time, I should say, discussing the merits or shortcomings of any particular denomination. He just wants to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I gotta say, from an evangelistic standpoint, I think it's a good strategy. I'm not suggesting that we scrub the name Wesleyan off of our building, but let me ask my Three Mile family. Do we find ourselves spending more time arguing with people about the differences between the denominations? Do we spend more time doing that than we do sharing the gospel with people? Or let me ask it another way. Do we care more about winning an argument with somebody than we do sharing the gospel with that person? And don't get me wrong. I believe it's important. I think it's critical for our church to have a statement of faith that's based on Scripture. I think it's absolutely critical we have that. I think it's good. We operate a website where folks can click the link to Wesleyan.org and other sources. They can find out. They can read about what we believe, what we stand for, what our mission is, and most importantly, who we worship and why. But is that all we are? Church folks, there's a lost and dying world all around us. And there are people who need to hear the truth about Jesus. Sometimes in order to break through the misconceptions that people have about the church, sometimes we need to show people that we love them. We need to connect with people first if we want to reach them with the gospel. You know, it has been said, and I don't know who came up with this quote, it has been said that people won't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. I'm going to say it again. People won't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. I think it's a true statement. As we close here, I believe that once people realize they see the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, once they repent and once they become born again, I believe there will be time where we can work with people to help them resolve any misconceptions that they have. Maybe it's a misconception about the Bible. Maybe it's about the church. Maybe it's about God. But we can't start there. We can't debate our way into making disciples for Jesus Christ. And if you're listening to me today through Facebook Live or maybe through our website, please don't be afraid of the name Wesleyan or what you think that might mean. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We are Christians first. And we are on a mission to expand the kingdom of God by sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Jesus offers us salvation from our sins through the blood that He willingly shed for us on a Roman cross. As always, I encourage you to feel free to reach out. Reach out if you have questions. Click that comment button. If you're on our website, you can see we have email addresses listed there. We have our phone numbers listed there. We would love to speak with you if you have questions. We want you to know what we know. We want you to know God the way that we know God. It's an awesome thing. Please don't allow a misconception to keep you out of heaven. Please don't allow a misconception to keep you from reaching the destiny God has put on your life. Jesus loves you. Don't allow a misconception to keep you away from the love of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, You are a great and awesome God. Lord, we are so grateful for this story. Father, the miracle that Jesus performed validated that He was sent by You, God, Your Son. You sent to the earth, Father, for our benefit. Father, we are so grateful for this message today. And Lord, we just ask if there are those family members, Father, maybe classmates, perhaps co-workers, maybe neighbors, Father, that are unwilling to come to You because they've got some misconception built in. God, we just ask that you would break through that. And Father, we ask that you use us. Use your church, Father, to go reach those people. God, use us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And Father, we know that once they know what we know, Father, we know that they can do nothing but run to your loving arms. Father, we thank you so much for all that you're doing in our midst. God, we desire to build your kingdom. We desire to grow your family. And Lord, we know that is your desire as well. We praise you in all these things. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.